Romans chapter 8, verses 37 to 39. I'll be reading from the New Century Version. But in all these things we have full victory through God, who showed his love for us. Yes, I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirits, nothing now, nothing in the future, no powers, nothing above us, nothing below us, nor anything else in the world will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord.
He's doing everything he can to help us and to do for us. And so we need to recognize that. He was one that was willing to give his son on the cross for us so that we could be saved people. Now what we want to look at today is, what does it really mean to be saved? You know, we can understand what it means to be saved if you're in an automobile accident and say, well, everybody was saved, everybody was safe in that. That means that everybody was able to come through that. We know what it is to be for somebody to call and say, well, how did you do during the tornado? Well, we were saved. We were, you know, we lost a lot, but we were saved. We understand that a little bit. What does it mean in this idea of being saved as far as Christianity is concerned? Sometimes I'm afraid that it is so simple that we don't really understand all that. It's kind of like looking at the word love and trying to define it. We all know what it is, but when somebody says define it, it's a little difficult to do. When we talk about being saved, it is something that we need to recognize. It is something that we need, but it is something also that we've got to recognize that we need to understand exactly what it is. Now, the sermon is a very simple sermon. You may say, oh, yours are simple. Well, that's the only way I can understand them. We need that. We need simple sermons. But we want to look at this. Now, I want you to look at these words here. When you're talking about being saved, you're talking about several words, and I want us to just look at these for just a little bit. I hope you still have your Bibles open, Romans 8, verse 37 and 38 there, where it's really trying to help us to understand the joy of the salvation that we have and what God's done. We see here that not only in the first couple of chapters there, God is showing that mankind is in sin. He is showing that mankind is lost. But then he comes up and he starts in this chapter saying, I want you to understand that God is continually caring for you. Listen to what he says, starting in verse 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now, being a conqueror is a very important thing. To go out and to conquer a city is a great thing. But how can you be more than that? That's what God has. That's God putting his hand in it. It's more than that. And so here we have this idea of not only just being saved, but we're more than saved. It's not only just that our lives are saved, but our souls are saved. Our spirit is safe. And it is saved also. And we need to recognize that. Sometimes I don't think we really see the joy that God has in this thing of salvation for us. Because if we saw it, we would be happy all the time. We'd have to be. Even in the midst of trouble, we know that a person has the power to be saved. Even in difficulty, even when the life is gone, even when the spirit is separated from this body, we can rest assured that there is salvation for those people that have obeyed the gospel, that have tried to live according to the principles God has set forth within his word. Now, I said all that, and you say, wow, boy, that's a lot to do to try to live every one of the principles that God has within his word. That sounds like there's no way we can make it. Let me tell you something. Don't worry about that. God takes up the slack for you. God helps you. Have you ever been trying to lift up something and somebody said, hey, wait a minute, let me help you. And they come over and it seems like that the load becomes so light then that it's so easy to do when you got one person. But when you got two, it makes it a lot easier. You can do it sometimes by yourself, but isn't it wonderful to know you've got somebody there to help you? And here's God. We were cut off from man. And we're going to look at that again in just a little bit. We were cut off from man. We had no hope from God. Mankind was. But here, God says, listen, I'll help you. Not only will I help you, not only will I send my son, and we're going to talk about that in just a little bit, but he said, I want you to know that I can help you in many ways that you can't even understand. We can be not just conquerors, but this idea of salvation is more than a conqueror. We have more than that. Look at this. For I am persuaded that neither life, you heard this a while ago, nor death, angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, none of these things, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. Did you hear that? Did you understand that? There is nothing, not a thing that can take God away from you. There is nobody that can do that. There is not a power greater than that. That's the reason that we're more than conquerors. We hadn't just overcome sin, but we have overcome sin, and we've got a God that is continually lifting us up and helping us. Now, look, if you would, at the next word here. Ephesians 1 and verse 7. In whom we have redemption through, listen as it talks about here, through Him, through the Son, through His blood. Look at this, the forgiveness of sins. We could start up here with Gary and have Gary to stand up and mention all of his sins. Somebody might say, well, none of the rest of us would get to talk. No, every one of us would be here all day long talking about our sins, wouldn't we? Every one of us would be here talking about what we've done that's wrong in our lives. And right now you may be thinking about a sin in your life. I've seen people that sin in their lives was something that they may have committed it 30 years ago or 20 years ago or 50 years ago or 10 years ago or 20 minutes ago. But it's there before their face. It's there for every one of us. But we can have forgiveness. Didn't say forgettingness. I said forgiveness. I don't think you forget your sins. At least I hope you don't. Because it helps us not to do that, because we remember what happened there. And so we're going to be getting that. We have this forgivingness of the consequences of that sin. Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse us from that, to make us right with His Father so that we don't have to face that anymore. Now, it may be in your mind, but let me tell you something. In the mind of God, it's straightened out already. That's salvation. That's what salvation really is. Then he goes on, John 1 in verse 12. Listen to this. But as many of us as received Him, to them gave He the right to become the children of God. This thing of salvation, this thing of being saved, makes us a child of God when we comply with the will of God. We're His child. Now, I don't know what kind of father you had. I don't know what kind of mother you had. I've met people before that their parents were not the best people in the world. They mistreated, they abused, sexually, physically, whatever. They did things that are wrong, and that's not right. But let me tell you something. This Father will always love you. Now listen to this. I don't care how big a sinner you are, He'll still love you. He'll love you. Now, please don't think because of His love, He will just overlook anything that you do. He will not. His love is not built that way. His love is one that He will offer you salvation, and He will give you salvation, and He will help you to be a person that remains a saved person. But understand this, He will not overlook your faults. Your mom and daddy may just overlook them. They may not see anything you do that's wrong. But the Heavenly Father will see. And it requires a payment to be made for every sin. That's what this thing of salvation is. That's what this thing of forgiveness is. We are His children now, and we have all the blessings. Mark talked about this morning. I thought that boy's going to get my whole sermon. That's all right. We'll repeat it again and again, and we'll say it again because we need to hear it again. Salvation is ours. We can be a child of God. We can have forgiveness. Now, look if you would in Romans 6 and verse 23. We can quote this one. Mark talked about this one this morning. We have this idea of giving us this eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what salvation is. It is a gift that is given to us from God. It is eternal life. It's not just life here on this earth. It's not just a physical life. Boy, we're more concerned about this physical body. We'll pray harder about a physical illness than we will about our spiritual soul. Amen. That was a good one. Y'all missed that one. We'll pray about our physical body. Let me tell you, if you go into the doctor Monday morning and he says you've got cancer, some of you heard that before, and we don't know what the outcome of this is going to be, but we're going to have to look at it. We're going to have to see that. Let me tell you something. I don't know of many people that wouldn't pray. I've had people that have been out of the church for years call and say, listen, I need the church to pray for me. I've had them to come on the next time the service were. They came forward and they said, I want the church to pray for me. I think that's great. I think it's good. It's bad you got to wait till that point to do it, but it's good you're doing it. What we've got to do is to realize God wants to give us eternal life. He wants to save us. He wants to do that. And here we're going to pray about a physical body existing and continuing on for a few more years. Do you know every one of those people that were raised, that Jesus raised, that was raised in the Bible from the dead, had to go back to the tomb again? Every one of them. How many people, when God saves them, do they have to go back again into this old body? He has the power to cleanse us. He has the power to save us. He has the power to make us right. John 14 and verse 2, in my Father's house are many rooms. I like that better than mansions. It's kind of like a family when you've got a house that's full. I told Linda, I said, you know, we need to cut down on the size of our house. And she said, well, where are the kids going to stay when they come? I said, we can tell them what a motel is. Well, that don't set real well with mamas. She wants to keep their rooms where they can have a room to sleep in. Motel's fine for me, you know. But she said, no. Why? She wants rooms. She wants them there. She wants them at her house. Why? I think she loves them. I've come to that conclusion. I think she loves them. And she wants them around her. That's what God is saying here. Jesus is saying here about his Father. In my Father's house, he's got a lot of rooms and he wants everybody to come on home. He wants you all to be there. Why? Because he wants you there where he can watch over you and help you to be safe. Or we could say, saved. That's what God wants. That's what God cares for. That's what he's trying to do. John 10 and verse 10, the thief comes not but for to steal and to kill. That's what they come for. But what did Jesus Christ come to do? Give us, look at this, an abundant life. Now, when does that start? When does the abundant life start? Everybody say, oh, that starts, you know, when you die. No, it starts now. If you're a child of God, and you're living faithful, and you're trying to serve God, and you're trying to do the will of God, let me tell you something, doesn't it make you happy? Okay, maybe it didn't. It better. It needs to. You have the abundant life now. Just think about that. You can go to God and say, God, forgive me of my sins, and he will forgive you. You can ask him for his help, and he will help you. And you know that he's going to help you in the best way for you. Right now, you look at all these words up here that we've got. We're going to be a conqueror. We're going to be forgiven. We're going to have God. We're going to be a God's child. We're going to have eternal life. We're going to have heaven. We're going to have an abundant life. And we could go on and on and on. What the Bible talks about, that's what saved is. That's what we're talking about here. It's not just that this life continues. This life is really nothing much at all. The Bible talks about this life is like a vapor that appears for a little while and then it vanishes away. It talks about life in the Old Testament and like a weaver, a shuttle, and that's going around and it just seems to spin and it's so fast and then you have your material and it's over with. That's what this life is. Too many times in Christianity we're looking for heaven to be totally here, and it's not. Part of it is, but it's not totally. God has something reserved for us, and He wants us to share in that. He wants us to have a part of that. We need to understand what this idea of salvation is. Now, look at this. There is a need. Well, I hit too many buttons there, I think. There is a need for salvation. Romans 3 and verse 23, Mark looked at it in Bible class this morning. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We need salvation. We need that. We've got to have it. Look at what it says here in Romans 6 and verse 23. For the wages, what you get paid for sin, and you get paid for that. Let me tell you something. There's payment for what you do. Nobody goes unpaid. If you are wanting to commit righteousness, I'm going to tell you something. You're paid for it. And you pay good. If you want to commit sin, then you're paid for it. But boy, you're not going to like it when you get it. Because it's going to be terrible. He said here, this is what salvation is. This is what being saved is. You know, sin is kind of like, well, in the Bible, they kind of gave the idea in the Greek of a person shooting an arrow at a target. And not just that they missed the bullseye, they didn't even hit the target. You ever done that? You ever tried shooting an arrow? Or maybe shooting a gun? And you shot, and whatever bottle or whatever you were trying to shoot, it was still there. And I'm thinking, I just delivered an invisible bullet. And they say, no, you missed the target. But I shot, yes, but you missed the target. That's what sin is. The target for everybody is heaven. The target for everybody is God. The target for everybody is Jesus Christ. The target for everybody is the Holy Spirit. That's the target for everybody. That's what God wants us to have. He desires us to have that. This thing of salvation, this thing of salvation is being with God. We talked about that, being a child of God, living in His house with Him, being there. What sin is a separation from that. It's not dwelling with God. It's not living with God. It's living in a place that is not as good as being with God. And you don't want to be there. And you don't want to live there. The Bible talks about this thing of sin as being a place that what it does is take away the salvation that we need to have and places us in a place called hell, in a place of fire. Now, I don't know exactly how we can illustrate that place for you so that you'll understand it. Preachers have tried for years to do that. I think God tried to use something that was so horrible for us that we would want to stay away from it. If you've ever been burned, you know, don't get near fire. You can tell your children, don't touch that, it's hot. But you know, sometimes touching it may be the best thing for them. And they realize the pain that's there, and they'll stay away from it. It's bad that we've got to touch sin to realize we need to stay away from it. It's bad to realize that and understand that. But we've got to understand that. We've got to realize that. But what we've got to do is we've got to realize that God loves us and God wants to save us. He wants to give us the best. He wants to bless us with the greatest blessings that ever could be offered. That's what He says right here. That love that He has for us is so great. John 3 and verse 16, the passage that if you talk about God's love, you just have to mention that, and it's almost the first one. God so loved the people of the world. God so loved the people that He wants to dwell with Him. God so loved the people that He wants to bless, that He gave His Son for them. Now don't think that God just gave His Son for the righteous people. That wasn't it. If we go back and we look at passages like Romans 5, verses 6 to 9, listen to what it says. For when we were still without strength, we didn't have any way to resist. You know, you think you're strong and you think you're powerful, and we probably all did, but when you saw that thunder cloud coming, did you think about how strong you were? Or did you think about how strong it was? And you said, I'm going to try to find me a place to hide. I'm going to try to find me a place that I can go. Heard on the television where a guy said, well, the last storm that came through, we put in over 1,000 storm shelters. I thought, bud, you better order as many as you can, because there's going to be a lot of people putting those things in. Because they've seen the power, they've seen the might, and they know what it is. The only thing you can do is get out of its way. The children of Israel could not conceive how great God was. They stood and looked on a mountain at God, and they knew not to go any farther. When God spoke, almost every person would get down on their knees and take their forehead and put it on their knees. I mean, they'd been over as far as they could. They even had the idea that if a person saw God, he would die there on the spot. The power of God. Do you know the children of Israel wouldn't even mention God's name? They were afraid of that. They wouldn't do it. The power and the strength. But when we were still without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Christ came and died for people that were lost. John 3 and verse 16 is not written just to saved people. It's not written to people that are right with God. It's written to every person in the world and saying, I want you to know how much God loves you. I want you to know how much He cares for you. I want you to know what He was willing to do for you. He was willing to give His Son. He said, some people, you know, might die for a real good fella here, as he talks in verse 7. But what about a scoundrel? What about a rat? What about somebody that has committed some great crime? Would you step up and say, let me die for that person? See, that's what Jesus Christ did. Now, lest we think today that what we're talking about here is those people that are really, really bad sinners, that have really done some of the terrible things in this life. Let me tell you something. Romans 3 and verse 23 that we saw a while ago said all of us are there. There's not a sin that you can mention that is greater than the sins that you have committed. We're there. See, we judge sins according to maybe the consequences for this life, when we need to judge it like God does. Sin is sin. And He says, I want to save you for that. And He sent His Son here, and He said He would be willing to do that. But God, listen to verse 8, but God demonstrated. God said, I want to show you this. I don't want you to miss it. I want you to understand it. I want you to comprehend it. God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't want it. We were fighting against it. But God still sent His Son there. Let me tell you something. If you don't know God loves you, then you have missed the whole boat. You don't even know where the water's at. God loves you. God wants to forgive you. God wants to save you. That's what He's trying to do. That's what He's trying to do in the giving of His Son. That's what He continually tries to do. He wants to help us to be right. He wants to help us to be clean. When Christ died on the cross for every one of us, when He was willing to give His life there for us, He was one that was willing to actually say, listen, I don't care what you've done, I can cleanse you. I don't care what sin you've committed, I can cleanse you. He has the power to do that. We're through with that lesson. Got one thing else. It doesn't make any difference if God wants to save you. It doesn't make any difference that He sent His Son. It doesn't make any difference that people want you to be a child of God, that people want you to repent of sins. It doesn't make any difference at all. What you've got to do is decide in your own mind, does it make a difference to you? Forget about everybody else. I don't care what everybody else does. I don't care what sins they've committed. What about you? You see, we want to look around at other people. Don't look at other people. It gets us into trouble. Remember Lot's wife? She's looking around at other people. Didn't work out for her. It won't work out for you. You look at your life. Are you right with God? I can tell you exactly how to do that. It's a very simple thing. In Acts, the second chapter, those people there said, what can we do? They had been accused of killing the Son of God. They had been accused of hanging Him on a tree, and they felt convicted of that. They even said, preacher, what can we do? He told them, you look at Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Son of God, of Jesus Christ, because of what He's done there, and you'll be forgiven. That's all you've got to do. We could go over to Acts 16. We could go to a lot of places and see there what those people were told to do. That's all I can tell you to do. It's not complicated. It's not hard. And preachers don't need to make it that way. God made it simple so that we could understand it. And that's what you've got to do to be a child of God.